All right, we're back for part two of the message of solitude, ashes, and the voice that still speaks. We're going to be talking about my encounters with the Lord as I traveled across 12 states and two provinces in Canada as a solo girl traveler. You're not going to believe this message and how the Lord brought my heart home and healed my heart in the most powerful ways. He gave me the word transfiguration before the trip. And when I looked it up, it's the word metamorpho, I think, or it's from where we get the word metamorphosis. And let me tell you, I was changed. I keep seeing butterflies this week. I'm like, yes, Lord, I hear you. Anyway, enjoy the message and I'll see you after the message. Let's talk about Moses. Exodus 2 tells us that Moses saw that his people were being abused and he rose up to protect them and he killed a man. Beloveds, when we are trying to get our need for family, for our people met outside of God, all we have is the ministry of death. Moses had the ministry of death until he went into the wilderness, until the wall came tumbling down. He was lonely. He went into the wilderness. And the voice. The voice. Then, when he became one with the voice, then he had the voice of valor. The voice that rattles hell. But not before then. He acted from broken belonging. He was an orphan prince trying to fix injustice without the Father's voice. And the Lord is saying, stop the ministry of death. When we minister from foxholes of unmet needs, we have the ministry of death. As I went up to Prince Edward Island, and when I finally got to my destination, I pitched my own tent. Along the way, I checked my own tire pressure. I ate alone. I wept alone. I worshiped alone. I experienced pain before the Lord and pleasure. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And under the sky of fireflies, the tears, the sleepless nights, because I didn't sleep well, he came. But he didn't come in the thunder. He didn't come in the applause. He came through a lot of tears. I had several years ago, I had this, it was kind of like a vision where the Lord showed me coming up through this brackish water or seawater, but it was real clear, and coming up through the water to an island. And it was very clear I'd just been through a shipwreck. And I think that's symbolic of coming up through the tears. So I had made it, but I was all alone, but I'd made it. And I thought all was lost. And then I saw coming around the island, this captain ship, and it was picking up all this cargo. And it was the cargo I needed to finish my destiny. Beloved, you might feel shipwrecked. You might be in the stillness and you might have the ache that you're tossing up before him over and over of feeling like you lost everything. And this is the very place where he is calling us home. He's saying, I am your home. Isaiah 57:15 says, I dwell in the high and holy place and often, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. The king lives with the crushed. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Beloved, the greatest spiritual formation never happens on stages. It happens in the solitude, where all the mucky water of our souls can settle. When the performance dies and we stop speaking for God, we stop living out of our foxholes and we start just being with him and facing the truth of our ache and our run to Egypt. Home isn't something that we have lost. Home is him. It's just such a gentle voice that we've forgotten to listen to it. Daughter, stop running to Egypt and come home to him. In Genesis 3:11, God asked Adam and Eve, "Who told you that?" You see, we're listening. We're listening to the temptation that comes from our ache to run after people, places, and things for our belonging and our sense of home and family. But those voices are not the still small voice of the Father. It's shame speaking. It's trauma speaking. It's your foxhole. It's the enemy. But Jesus calls you by name. I want to read to you a eulogy. Eulogy for the old version of me. I wrote this on my trip about midway through when I was so tired and so exhausted. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even halfway there yet. And I still have to camp. Today, I bury the version of me who spent most of her life trying too hard to be loved, needed, admired, or understood. She was bright and brave and carried so much, but she was also scared. She didn't know how to rest. She feared being invisible, so she filled the room. She feared being left, so she clung too tightly. She feared being unworthy, so she tried to prove herself constantly. She overdid, she overgave, she overanalyzed, and when her needs weren't met, when her pain was ignored and her efforts unnoticed, she got angry. She didn't always behave well. She sometimes took up too much space. She sometimes made it all about her, not from pride, but from fear. She regrets everyone she's hurt. Truly, if she could go back and love them better, she would. She confused praise with love, control with peace, intensity with intimacy. She thought if she worked hard enough or sparkled enough or disappeared enough, she'd finally be enough. She didn't want to be the prodigal, but she wandered. She didn't want to be the older sister, but she fumed in silence. She lived between them, ashamed of her need and afraid of her hunger. But today, she lays it all down. And I lay a soft white sheet over her grave. She can rest now. I thank her for surviving. But she cannot come with me because now I want to become like the Father. I want to be steady. I want to welcome. I want to know where home is and stay there because I am already loved. And then she rose, not the old version, but the true one, the beloved one, the presented one. She stood before God and whispered, "Here I am. I am finally home. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So may it be, Lord. Help me carry it out." Beloved, it is time to marry our Maker and to become one with him, to let the old pass away and the new to come forth. "So you shall no longer be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you will be called, 'My delight is in her,' and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married." I believe that's Isaiah. It's either Isaiah 55 or 60. "Daughter, you are not abandoned property. You are not barren land. You are a covenant garden where the Lord delights to dwell. The ache that you have tried to fill with people and performance, it's really a wedding ache for Jesus. And the bridegroom is here saying, marry me. Let me be your home. Daughter, are you tired? Are you tired of running to these other places who can never be your home? Are you tired of giving parts of you and pieces of you away, hoping someone will finally say, you're mine? Are you tired of performing to be loved, shrinking to be safe, fawning to be chosen? Are you worn thin, pining for feeling belonging? Have you climbed mountains but still feel empty? Have you built walls of self-protection but you still feel exposed? Do you feel invisible? Are you exhausted? You're not broken beyond repair, and you were never meant to live outside of your father's heart and home. That ache that you feel is like a pigeon, a homing signal. It's the whisper of the bridegroom saying, come home. You belong. Stop running to Egypt. Stop chasing shadows. Stop living out of your foxholes. Marry me. Let me be down. Let me be your rest. Beloved, it's time to lay down all that luggage you've been carrying. Honey, what eulogy is your heart longing for you to write today? The story of Mephibosheth and the king's table. Mephibosheth ate at the king's table always. Now he was lame in both feet. 2 Samuel 9:13. Mephibosheth's father was Jonathan. He was the grandson of King Saul. And when Saul and Jonathan were killed, Mephibosheth was dropped, broken, and disqualified from culture. Once David's kingdom was established, David said, is there anyone left of Jonathan's house that I may do good to them? Because he had made a covenant with Jonathan. You see, Jesus has made a covenant with us, and he's saying, is there anyone good? Is there anyone I can do good to for Jesus's sake because of my covenant? So David went down to find Mephibosheth in Lodibar. And Mephibosheth said, what would you do with a dead dog such as me? David restored all the assets of Saul to Mephibosheth, and he ate at the king's table, even though he was lame in both feet. But today the king says to you, you will eat at my table like one of the king's daughters. You see, many of us have been dropped by spiritual fathers, by lovers, by leaders, by husbands. We limp into every room, hoping we'll finally be validated. We're lame in both feet. We've been hurt by mothers and mentors. Friends have turned their backs on us. And we feel like a dead dog. And it's time for us to come limping, trembling, covered in our shame, as a servant, as a dead dog, and find our daughtership. Because you see, we're not a dead dog, we're not just a servant. But we're daughters. But it's in that contriteness that we come. And he washes it all away, puts the robe and the ring on, and puts us at the table. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And he said, if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge them out. Well, I always thought those scriptures were pretty extreme. But for those of us who are right-handed, and I'm sorry, left-handed folks, I've got a lot of them in my family, so I truly am sorry. But most of us are right-handed. So if we lose our right hand, we have to learn to live left-handed. Those of us who can see, who are not blind, we mainly rely on our sight. And what I want to propose to you is that our right hand and our sight are like Egypt. They're the familiar places where we do the foxhole living, where we keep going back to that which is the ministry of death to find belonging. The prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through 32. I'm going to read this. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that falls to me." Now, to say that in that time would be like to say, "I wish you were dead." I mean, it was pretty extreme. So he divided the estate between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had and traveled to a distant country, Egypt. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country, and he began to do without and be in need. The wall is crashing, and he's left alone on the mountaintop. So he went and forced himself on one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed with the pigs. He would have gladly eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger, and no one was giving him anything. But when he finally came to his senses and said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough food, while I am dying here of hunger? I will give up and I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son or daughter. Just treat me like one of your hired men.'" This is really looking at those foxholes and becoming devastated over the Egypt. This is contrition. So he got up and came to his father. He still had to walk that long way back. I still had to drive to Prince Edward Island and back. I drove 60 hours. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring out the best robe for the guest of honor and put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet, and bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was as good as dead." He had to die. "And is alive again. He was lost and has been found." So they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field when he returned and approached the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and began asking, "What is this celebration?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he was received back to him safe and sound." And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he said to his father, "Look, these many years I've served you, and I've never neglected or disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me so much as a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this other son of yours," notice that he's now taken himself out of the family. "When this other son of yours has arrived, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, who you slaughtered the fattened calf for him." He wasn't home either. He had turned to religion, and look at the resentment. Sometimes we have resentment against others and we feel so much like a victim, yet our very resentment is death clothes. It's the ministry of death. And we must repent. It's evil. Son, you are always with me, he said, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was as good as dead, and he began to live. He was lost, and he had been found. So, beloved, you don't have to be perfect to come home. In fact, you can be as messy as all get out, but you have to come home. You have to surrender. You have to stop fawning, controlling, manipulating, pushing, forming, molding for love in the wrong places. Blessed are those who mourn. Allow yourself to be devastated by your sin and then come. Repent that times of refreshing may come. Again, the roadmap of spiritual formation here is God's people trust in Egypt, man's power. He allows their plans to shatter. They're left alone and lonely. The wall crashes. The idols are crushed. The contrite. And then the voice comes. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Beloveds, we want the voice without the breaking. We want the anointing without the altar. The wall falls, the idols are crushed, then the voice comes. Don't despise the crash. It's where you will hear him the clearest. The still small voice, Moses heard it. Peter heard it when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Mary heard it when she was called in obscurity to bear the Savior. Hagar heard it in the wilderness. "I see you." The goal of spiritual formation is that we empty ourselves of our foxhole voices, and his voice becomes our voice. Then the voice of valor, the voice that shakes the waters, comes forth. It's a voice not born of fear, but of fire, not of trauma, but of truth. And it's the voice that rattles hell and brings heaven. We want to move mountains, but first we must be invited to be moved by God, or we must accept the invitation. We must die to live for him. Beloved sisters, I want to encourage you to let the walls fall. Let what is collapsing in your life collapse. Let the idols of the old people, places, and things crash. The voice of the Lord comes to the contrite. He longs to be gracious to you. Blessed are all those who long for him. Beloved, do you want to hear him? He's not calling you to try or strive or work harder. He's calling you to stillness, in repentance and rest, and quietness and trust. The walls fall and we come home. Home isn't where you're longing for Egypt out there. It's a place that's been with you all along. We don't want to think that God is enough, but yet he is. Daughter, where do you need to die today? Where do you know you're looking outside of him and you cannot see that Jesus would be enough. Cut off your right hand, gouge out your eyes. In other words, stop looking outside to him and return to him. Learn to live suckling of him. He is your complete family. You will never have what you want from that person, place, or thing. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Psalm 27:10. Though my husband forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Though my job forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Pray this with me. Lord, I lay to rest the version of me I believed, the version of me that I believed I wasn't beloved unless I was needed, that chased people instead of sitting at your table, that feared the silence more than I trusted your voice, that made idols out of people's approval. I tried to manufacture home instead of returning to you. And in this moment, I return. I come home. Blessed are the broken. Blessed are the burnt out. Blessed are the barefoot prophets. Blessed are the wilderness women. Blessed are the ones who stopped striving and started listening. Starting in September of 2025, I'm going to be taking a group of women through 50 weeks of heart mentoring, almost a year, where we're going to go on a heart journey and we're going to go through the sacred work of becoming the beloved. We're going to go through the heart journey book and journal written by me. And week by week, we're going to encounter the Lord meeting us in the places of unmet needs, delivering us from Egypt, healing us in the foxholes. We're going to meet every Sunday night for prophetic teaching and group pastoral coaching with me. There'll also be weekly prayer support. If you have an orphan's heart that needs healing, if you need to lay down idols of control and performance, if you have cycles in your life where walls keep breaking but nothing changes, if you want to be rooted, if you want to be rooted in love and not in fear, if you want to know Jesus more, if you want your heart, your broken heart, to truly be healed, join us. You can join us at drbarbaraministries.org/experience. Sweet love, you are not forgotten. You are not abandoned. You are not cast out, and you are not disqualified. If you still have breath in you, you have purpose. But the home you've been searching for is not out there. It is in him. There is a table, there is a robe, there is a ring. All you have to do is sit. There is a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk home. Walk healed. Walk holy and walk on fire. The voice wants to arise within you. You see, only as you come home after that place of contrition can you harmonize with him, and the power of that voice will break the glass all around. Saint Augustine said, my soul is restless until it finds its rest in you. Daughter, stop striving. Stop performing. Admit your Egypt. Let the wall crash. Let the ache lead you to the Father. This is the way that he gives us beauty for ashes. Stop running. Get still and listen to the whisper. And then your voice will be the voice of valor. Thank you so much for this time. I'm glad that you listened all the way through this message. Let it do its work. Listen to it over and over and know that I'm with you. Are you wanting to go on a heart journey? Are you ready to be transformed? Are you tired of the brokenheartedness that you live with? If you are a woman and you are ready to commit to healing your broken heart, go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience. Join us. We're going to work together for a year, mentoring your heart, spiritual formation of the heart in a way that heals the broken heart. I can't wait for you to join us and be part of our Heart Journey Village. I'll see you there.